Welcome, Paolo, to this new episode of Knowing Thermis, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I would like to start the interview with some questions that pre-Socratic philosophers already asked themselves, and it's related about us, about human beings. So firstly, Paolo, who are you?
This is normally is the last question of a life. It's not the question that is made at the beginning of an interview. Who am I? I feel myself a person eager to discover, to learn about people, to learn about things, curious and motivated by the fact of seeing and in the broad sense of the term, seeing as many things that are possible, from seeing real things, from experiencing social contact and moving in the unknown, in the nice term of the word.
Okay. And where were you born? Let's talk a bit about where did you come from.
So I am from Italy, the north part of Italy, 50 kilometers from Turin. Is the town of 20,000 inhabitants that is called Ivrea.
Okay.
It was a town that was, when I was young, by itself very rich, because it was the quarter of a big, big company that was called Olivetti. But none one of my family was working for that company. It was a company working before for producing typewriting machines, mechanics, and then they moved to the electrical ones, and then they tried with the computers. They had a great success for some time, but then the things get worse. So the company make, practically disappeared, and now is a kind of town where the largest employer is the hospital and the tribunal. So it's not very lively in terms of economical life. But it was an interesting time to town to live, because, has some peculiarity that makes it quite interesting.
Okay, and what did you study? Did you study in Italy?
Yes, so until 19 years old, I studied in the town, and then at 18 years old, I moved to Turin for the university. And then during my last but 1 year, I make an Erasmus of 4 months in near CERN. It was not at CERN, it was a joint university accelerator school, JUAS, that is a kind of partly contributed by CERN, but also European fund.
Okay.
And the year after, to do my final master work, I got a fellowship to come to CERN.
Wow.
To do the final year. So I spent the final year here, and then I got renewed one other year. And that time was the time in which the productions of the components of the equipment of the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, was starting to get into the busy part. And therefore, I got the opportunity to join CERN as staff.
So just for talking a bit more about the past, what do you miss the most from your city or from your country?
From my city, I don't miss much. It was a small town. I like it, but there is nothing particularly of... it was a closed town. People were not necessarily traveling a lot. It was a period where people were quite local. So for me, moving outside, moving abroad, moving to live in Geneva had only plus.
Yeah.
So I'm not particularly feeling nostalgia and need of going back. No, I'm not absolutely in that mood.
Okay.
I'm also coming from a very small family, so I don't have much roots back there. Of course, I have lost many friendships, but that's life. Things goes ahead, things evolve. And for my country, I think that at the end there are good things in Sweden, in each country. So I'm not feeling particularly like missing it and I'm liking to go back. No, I'm not particularly. Yes, of course, there is a substrate of culture in terms of historical substrate in Italy that is very, very important. So it's kind of not very easy to find abroad in terms of historical and art history. But for the rest, And then I feel that I'm free to go back as much as I want when I want. So I'm not particularly feeling in nostalgia.
Because now you're living in Geneva or in the French side?
No, I'm living in Geneva.
In Geneva, okay. And is there any activity, cultural or any sport that you've never tried before, but once you move here to Geneva, you tried and you are now continue practicing, for instance?
It's difficult because I've been in Geneva so many years that I've gone through several phases.
Okay.
Different situations. Now I have also kids that are now are getting 14 years old. So things change just not because you are in Geneva, but because you get small kids that you have to raise.
Mm-hmm.
So no, not necessarily. But clearly also you get years when you are a student. And as a student, you have a certain quantity. You have a lot of freedom, but you don't have necessarily the financial resources to exploit the freedom as much as you want. And when you get in a professional life, this changes. So I've traveled a lot more than what I was traveling before. But this, I don't think that is because of Geneva. It's because I got into professional life. It's true that being in Geneva, this allows you to get in contact to a particularly multicultural, multinational society. And this is extremely interesting and it opens you to the different way of thinking of the different nationalities.
Yeah.
And this is quite peculiar of Geneva, independently of Switzerland or whatever. This is Geneva, it's not in another country, not in another town.
So let's face the last question, because we've already talked about who are you, where did you come from, and now it's time for talking about the future, where are you going? So for instance, I'm going to dream, I'm a journalist, so I'm going to imagine myself being awarded with a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. And now I would like to know, what are your dreams?
So what are my dreams? My dreams are simple in that terms. It's not being ambitious, but they are quite simple in the sense that I would like to feel that I have participated in big challenges,
mm-hmm.
that I've done what I've done professionally at the best, and that I have been challenged by the situation. I had the opportunity with that with the LHC. Now we'll see, we are in another project, slightly different dimension, but quite challenging. And we will see what's coming up in the future. I would like to have the feeling that I have participating on building something useful for not only for me, but as we are speaking about CERN, about the knowledge of humanity, contributing in some way. And as a person, to keep growing, keep knowing more and more people, more and more way of living, more and more society, and be sure that my kids find their place in this society in which they feel happy for what they are going to be.
Now imagine that you are the interviewer and you have the possibility to ask to our next CERNi whatever you like. So feel free to make a question for them and I will ask them in the next podcast.
Okay. So for me, I give you an answer and the question, okay, at the same time.
Okay.
For me, to give you my answer, not the answer, my answer.
Yep.
For me, the most interesting things at CERN is the fact that you are always able, when you have a problem, to find someone that probably is an expert or can provide you support in that particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
That means that while you are dealing with a technical professional issue, you grow and you acquire always new knowledge, because there are experts of many, many different fields.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most, motivating aspects for me. The fact that at CERN, you are always able to develop, acquiring new knowledge, not necessarily becoming an expert in the field, but new knowledge and to learn. Every day you learn something.
Okay.
And I would ask him what is the things that for him makes CERN special.
Okay, perfect.
But I would more refer to the human part.
Okay. So now it's your turn for give an answer for the previous question. So yesterday, another 30 wanted to ask you,
mm-hmm.
What is happiness for you?
Okay. What is happiness? Happiness can be to feel yourself positively surprised and fulfilled when you accomplish something, and accomplish something is very, very large term, because can be from the fact that your kids reach their goal in something.
Mm-hmm.
So you have fulfilled the fact that you were able to support them to get there. To the fact that you are sitting on a coast of Scotland and you are looking at the ocean and you feel yourself in peace with yourself and you were able to walk till there, or that you have accomplished and fulfilled and in a team a work challenge. Happiness is in some way having the feeling that you have been able to accomplish something that make you feel spiritually full.
Yeah, good definition. Okay, now I would like to ask you, if you could teach people from other nationalities a proverb or a saying from your homeland, which one would it be?
So probably l'erba del vicino è sempre più verde. That means that the grass of the field of the neighbor, of the garden of the neighbor, is always, it looks to you always greener than yours.
Yeah.
That means that you always think that the guy that is near you has something that you do not have or is better than you in something. And yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
That means that sometimes you have to refocus on yourself, understand if that thing you're really missing or that quality you're really missing. Instead of complaining, working on that to take out that feeling of luck.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. And now it's the turn for the last block, let's say, for the ending of the interview, which is a QQ, which seems something Frenchified, but actually it's just a quick quiz based on recommendations. So if you could recommend us a book, which one would it be?
The Foundation of Asimov.
Okay. And instead of a book, I ask you for a TV or a TV series or a film. Which one would you choose?
Ooh, let's think about movie. 12 Men in Anger.
Okay, I haven't seen it, so I'm going to write it down.
It's a very old film with Harry Fonda about the jury that has to convict a man for homicide, and is all inside a room for the whole length of the movie.
Wow, yeah, great, because I guess the dialogue has to be great if the whole film take place in one space.
Yes.
Okay.
The other great one is The Cat on the Hot Tin Roof.
Yes, that one I know it because of my university degree. And that's mainly the interview. Thank you very much once again, Paolo.
So thank you.